which we began the Tosis of Beis and Midbeis. And as I said, it's a long discussion. I will start by telling you a story. The story took place back in 2004. The story goes like this. I got a phone call from someone from my shul. He wants to meet me with a young lady and their parents from a certain out-of-town community. And they want to nullify the marriage. Nullify the marriage. I said, I don't know. I'm not the Pope. They don't nullify marriages. No, but it's a question of Kedusha Tos. I said, oh, okay. So I said, good. So I invited up Rabbi Reese, Shalita, now is the Manal of our yeshiva. At that time, he was in the Manal of our Bezdin. So on what this is on my dining room table in my house. On one side of the table, I sat next to Rabbi Reese. On the other side, it was a couple from my shul, and a couple from out of town, and their daughter. That was who was in the room. They tell me the following tale of woe. This young lady, the daughter, married a fellow, Talmud from a very distinguished yeshiva, a very distinguished Rosh yeshiva, one of the members of the Gedolei HaTorah official group, and he flew far away to do the wedding. It's your reputation. Oh, gewaltig. Things are not normal. From the first minute, he doesn't seem to have too much of a desire to be with her physically. Once in a while, yes. Once in a while, no. After a year, the father smells that something is wrong.
Yeah.
A good parent can smell something's not right over here. Says to his daughter, maybe you want to get. Well, that's where we get. We'll start all over again. You know, it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. She says, well, maybe the reason why the marriage not gelling together because there are no children. There'll be a child, it'll get better. Famous last words. Don't ever think that. But since he hardly ever wants to be with her, so catch this now. So she has a child with her from her husband with artificial insemination. From her husband. From the moment she becomes pregnant, he's completely far from her. She has a baby, just as far. She sees something is really, really wrong. And she really fell in deep into something very wrong. If I'm not mistaken, I had moved to Florida. If I'm not mistaken. The one thing she did is she had the wisdom, before asking him for a get, to put have someone trail him. Private eye, you know. It didn't take that much. You didn't have to, you know, Sherlock Holmes, CIA, FBI, Mossad, Shin Bet. Then she put someone on him, and he followed straight into a gay bar. And the guy took 1,000 pictures, you know. I said, here's, they put on the table, 100 pictures. Here's 100 pictures that the guy took of this chevra man in the gay bar. I didn't want to look at any pictures. I said, Lakai the Shamish and the Satavi Tahorahi. I've never been in a gay bar. I don't want to see anything about a gay bar. Gonished. So, I guess I don't want to forget this part. So at the end of the day, I said, if you don't look, you're not able to give a psak. You have to look. Rabbi Reese was looking. You know, he said, maybe he's made from stronger stuff. And I couldn't. You have to look. I looked at one picture. So the picture, crazy picture. The two guys, and they're stripped to their bathing suits, and they're I can't figure out what exactly they're doing. I said, "Who's the other guy?" He says, "Well, that's his friend, partner. I'm going to call him." So, what's about him? He's also went to yeshiva. Shem Yishmor. Anyway, I said, "Well, when the big question is, when did this activity begin? We have a tshuva from our Moshe." Right? Didn't we read the tshuva? That the guy is shot off the Mishkav Zohar. That's the way he conducts his life. Kiddushei Tos, because no one would ever want to be with such a man. And if he did it once, it's a pilpul, he did it repeatedly. We have no evidence that he conducted himself this way before the wedding. You're up the creek without a paddle. It happened after the wedding. A lot of things happen after a wedding. The only way Kiddushei Tos can possibly work is if the shortcoming existed before the wedding. This is Pshat Aleph. We've spent 2 weeks in the sukkah. We all know this. Well, and here's where the we know now that he had certain tendencies before the wedding as well, as he was a teenager. How do you know? Well, when the couple broke up, people started saying, I think I know why they broke up. Why did they break up? Because he's gay. How do you know? I know him from high school. In high school, he had certain, I don't know exactly what it means. Apparently, Yoidei Dover can tell already by the guy in high school. See, I don't even know what the words mean. But somehow he had certain tendencies, so I'll leave it at that. No, so why did you tell us when you heard about the engagement? I didn't want to share the shidduch. What's going on? This is what the Pesach Teshuva screams its head off. When you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara, Rachmana Litzlan, everyone is cool on Babak Lashon Hara. When you're supposed to open your mouth, I don't want to disturb the shidduch. I couldn't have made this story up if I tried. This story really happened. Okay. I know exactly when this story took place because I know exactly shortly after they came to me as I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. And I'm shaylas, I go to speak to Rabbi Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg. He's the go-to person. All these kinds of shaylas. Good. So, as soon as I got there, I remember I arrived on a Friday morning.
Why didn't he want to give a
gift? Oh, he'll give a gift, all right.
So what's the problem?
He needs about 200,000-300,000 reasons to give the gift. That's what they got at the end. That's only 10% of the other story. That was between 2 and 3 mil. This is cheap. Yeah. So when I arrived, my first call about this question was to a man, very nice man, a classmate of mine. I have a lot of illustrious classmates. His name is Dr. David Ribner. Lives in Hanof. Anybody know who he is? You know. So he's a brother-in-law of President Joel. Right? His Esther Joel is a Ribner. And again, not only is he my classmate, my father and his father, Zichron Lebracha, they were also classmates in the yeshiva. We go back a long time. And this is his field. This is his specialty, this kind of stuff. So like this, listen. We have no evidence that he did anything wrong before the wedding, so we can't go that way. But here's my shalom. Assuming you can determine and then document and then aid them, come and say, listen, we saw this guy had these tendencies at age 16. Can we say that this is a mekach tos, kiddushei tos, for the following reason? Not because he was shotter for Mishkav Zochas, or Moshe used that expression, he was actively homosexual. But because, since that's his taiva, this is what he likes to be with men, so we know it already at age 16, that it's going to be impossible for him to have a normal physical relationship with a wife. So, the Kiddushei Tos should be not based on his sinful behavior, on it being disgusting, as Rav Moshe threw those phrases. Did we read that Shulchan Aruch inside? I don't remember anymore. I don't think we read that one inside. Let's get that on. Ellie's back from his. We can go back to the movies. We'll see in a minute that Rav Moshe has a very fascinating line at the end, which you'll see has tremendous impact how we look at this whole thing. But here it's on a different basis. The basis being, namely, that it'll be impossible for him to live with his wife physically as a normal husband lives with a normal wife. And therefore, on that basis, Kiddushei Tos. That's what it is. So Dr. Ribner told me, as far as he knows, based on all the professional writings and proceedings, it's impossible. Once the person has this kind of a tendency, that's the way he is, that's the way he's wired, that's the way he was, some say born, some say made. I'm not going into that exactly right now. It's Chelek, that was Chelek Dalet. I think it was Pei Gimel, I think.
Pei Gimel?
I think it was Pei Gimel is on the Mar Mekom Sheep. I'm not sure it's Pei Gimel.
This is Meshuvah.
One second. No, it's Meshuvah. No. Oh, where do you have the Mar Mekom Sheep? What was this? What was Pei Gimel? Maybe Kuf Yud Gimel. Maybe Kuf Yud Gimel. Maybe. There were a few of them on the. I don't know which one is which.
This is Mishkan.
Okay, we got it. Second attempt, we have it. Three together. This is already written, Tav Shin Lamed Ches. This is a somewhat of a later tshuva, 1978. Written to Rav Shmuel Tuvia Shtern. You know where he lived?
Florida.
Today is Florida Day. Okay. He wrote a whole countries. Old Doris, new Doris. He doesn't believe it. What's going on over here? So much stuff has nothing to do with us. Oh, the whole thing is about extraneous stuff. All we have is the last. So he debunks, rabbis, forgive me, the Florida rabbi's theory. Out. So look at this one now, the last paragraph. Aval nida nidan, kevin shebatina shebemum gadol hu beetsam mekach tov skam beisha. Kid the biyad the bigus smershe chelik of an ezek chelik alav simon ayin test for simon pay, which we spoke about. The first where he had no koach garva, the second where he was shoter, right? Mistaber shezeh da habalu shotuf v'mishkav zochah shua toeva hayose gedola v'hamos biyose. V'udavar, this is not politically correct, by the way. V'udavar g'nai l'chol ha'mishpacha. Everyone is just... V'koshken sheyiyaz g'nai b'yosa l'ishto imbala bocher yoser v'mishkav ha'mos hazeh tachas mishkav ishto. He prefers being with men to being with his wife? Oish! Huvadai kidushay tos. Ubarolon, Sheshum Isha Lohoisa Misrates Linosia Laoda Menuvel Umos Ubozu Kazer. The date is 1978. Keep that very much in mind. No woman! Is that true today? Is that true today when they call this thing called quote unquote bisexual? Quote unquote. I'm not even sure this is true today anymore. We'll see soon what changed in the 30 something years since 1978. Now, this is an aside. Maybe only did it once. Once! We'll see later in the next sugya. Once! He wants to try everything once. I like vanilla ice cream. But once I gotta try chocolate. Please forgive the analogy. Okay. Yeah. Ulai ein lahach shiv zelik kedushay tos avshu rosha gomur gamishil pamachas. You all know what it says in the Chumash. V'yeshe yitu ledamos lahach shiv gam zek kedushay tos. That's a question. Aval umu shotuf b'zeh. What do you mean? How do you know if he did it once or he did it many times? Well, what gives it the fascinating? Rav Moshe is so smart. I'll explain to you how good a gold he was, not only in Torah, but a gadol in figuring things out. I'm going to quote to you mamish what a professional psychologist said in 2011. So when is he shatuf? Never. We want to cry. Sheyoser nena mi mishkav zocha mi mishkav noshim. This is what he enjoys more. Rachmano litzlan. Hu vaday kiddushay tos. Aval kol zeh im holcha mi menu techef. Correct, as we keep saying, I have to go right away, whatever right away means. Right? And we saw in another tshuva, if she just was waiting around just to find out if it was true, or whatever, there could be certain, you know, extenuating circumstances. We spoke about it last time. She's not serving as his wife, she's not living with him, she's not treating him. Okay, fine. The last sentence is amazing. Amazing. 1978. It's homosexuality. It's a shtus. This is an illness. unnatural. Vadai hu mum. In other words, he's not a Rasha. He said it's not a Rasha. That's just the way he is. Not a Rasha. That's just the way he's wired. So what, says Rav Moshe? It's still a mum. The kemish hu mitzad shtus olo la'od shtusim. There could be other shtusim. Alo bi'etzem hu mitzad rishus v'nivul. Shagam kein hu tos k'daliyah. So Rav Moshe is considering the possibility that it's a shtus, and he himself thinks that it's really not a shtus, it's really a rishus v'nivul. Num hidini yedida Moshe Feinstein. What a paragraph. What a paragraph. Back to my story, we'll see how we get to tie into Rav Moshe's truth. The date is critical. So after speaking with Dr. Ribner, I went to Rabbi Zalman Chaim Goldberg on Motzei Shabbos. He says to me, do more research. That doesn't sound right to me. So I called up another professional in the field. Her name is Dr. Anna Rubel. Anyone know who she is? Anyone know Kim Moshava? His name Moshava? Mori Rubel, is that there? Yeah. His wife doesn't come anymore?
I know that from Vaseret.
Vaseret, right? Vaseret. And I know them from Moshav from forever ago. So I know these very, very wonderful. And she's a PhD in this field exactly. Call her up. She says to me, "What? Of course you can change." Shnei ksuvim hamakhishim zeze ad sheyavo hakosav hashlishi v'achriya b'nei. I have a cousin. His name is David Konigsberg. And he's married to a Willick, and he lives in I guess it's called Kiryat Moshe, that is Kibat Shaol, that's not far from Najara, you know. They also know not far from the old MMY, they also know the geography. Good. It's like I always try to visit whenever I'm there, I try very hard. Sometimes I meet my aunt Toby, his mother-in-law, my famous aunt. So I come to visit him and I say, you know, what do I do over here? You're in the mental health field, what do I do? Tells me the following story. Until 1979, everyone assumed it was Mitzad Rishus Venival. This was written in 1978. In 1979, he tells me, there was the annual convention, the national convention of the APA, I'm not sure if it's a psychologist, psychiatrist, some, you'll get up online and find out in a second what exactly happened. Apparently the gays came, they and their supporters came, and they insisted that it should be no longer viewed as a shtus, as an illness, it's just an alternate lifestyle, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and they come in strength, basically they bamboozled, the threatened, blackmail, whatever you want to call it, this group to pronounce a change. Now this is an alternate lifestyle. There's no difference between heterosexual and homosexual. Like there's no difference between a lefty and a righty and a blonde hair and brown hair. So, and it's if it's born that way. Ever since then, that's the quote orthodoxy of the mental health community. And it's an orthodoxy that's enforced with a zab. If you deviate from it, you are discredited and even threatened, even physically, not just professionally. Mamela, that's all it's written in the books, because everyone's, this is, you know, the liberal society in which we live. This is more repressive than communism. You can't say anything different. Not only that, but I was told I shouldn't pick only on Florida. We have Californians here. In California, it reached such a peak. Then in California, if there is the mental health people have to have these, what they call continuing education. If there's any session in a continuing education program which talks about this issue and, you know, with presenting two sides, the whole thing is discredited. So the Nefesh group, you know, heard of Nefesh, a very beautiful group of Orthodox mental health professionals. So they had this discussion a couple of years ago, and they printed it on their prospectus, Seven Should Come. But for those who live in California, they had to print a separate prospectus, omitting this piece. Because if they would print it, they'd lose their continuing credits. This is the liberal country, the liberal state, California, the most liberal of all the 50 states, Kayadua. Except when you want to say something they don't want to hear. Then all of a sudden, they're not liberal anymore. Okay. Kederach ha'olam. Fine. So he says to me, my cousin, that, you know, he thinks, although he doesn't specialize in this kind of stuff, which the other two do specialize, but he thinks it probably can change. But you know what? Down the block, Machon Pua. You know what Machon Pua is? Rabbi Brushin, Menachem Brushin, who I know well for years. Go ask him. He's the kind of a person who would know about these things. Good. I walked. I didn't even drive. I walked to Machon Pua, and he was there. Rabbi, he says to me, this can be changed for those who want to change. For those who want to change, that's the big proviso. For those who want to change. And call my friend Motti Halperin. Have you heard his name? Harav Dr. Mordechai Halperin. Everyone knows who he is? He's a very famous personality in the rabbinic medical community in the Holy City. He's a real star. So I get him on his cell phone. Oh, he's a cowboy. I can hear right away. It's no problem. I said, what's your success rate? He said, among those who want to become straight, or whatever the phrase you want to use, 85 to 90%. Wow. This is what he says to me. Now, I have a written piece by a doctor, a PhD, which says something along those lines, but I'm not even allowed to tell you his name. It's the same way he told me I shouldn't give out the piece with his name attached. Whenever I give it, I cut out the name. So I can't even say it now because it can get back to somebody and he can lose his tenure he has a tenured position in a prestigious university. He can lose it. Comes to your way. Okay. Anyway. So now, how can I say Kiddushei Tos? It wasn't a foregone conclusion that this person at age 16 would, even if he was, it wasn't a foregone conclusion. But, Rabbi Osai, if we are right, in our analysis of last week, I was going with the wrong paradigm. We shouldn't be analyzing the self-selected percentage of individuals who want to change. We should take the entire population of these individuals and then see, do we say kol ba'er lo yishuvun? Kol ba'er lo yishuvun is not, which is a phrase in the Gemara about Azor Yitzayim, which the Sridi Yesh, based on Rashi, there applies that people go to the church. We don't take the population of those Jews who go to the church but they have guilty consciences and may want to come back. We take the sum total of those who go to the church. And we said that someone who's shotel for Mishkav Zohar, as for a Moshe's tshuva. But you can do tshuva. No. Because we assume that the whole sum total of individuals are shotel for Mishkav Zohar, the number of people coming back is very, 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 very small. So now we should take the sum total of individuals who have these homosexual tendencies at age 16, the sum total, and see how many, you know, lead lives, normal heterosexual lives. That should be the critical statistic. So I had no idea what the statistics were. So suddenly I realized, 7 years and $250,000 later, that maybe it really should have been a Kiddushei Tos. So I did the homework. Spoke to my professional, the same one I made reference to earlier. Called him up last week, right here from the yeshiva. Got him on the phone. He says like this. Yes, he confirms. Those who are actively homosexual, you could say called Bo'el or Yeshuvah. The general population, tiny amount. Now you mean to tell me that, doesn't mean that no people can change. Those who really want to change, who are motivated to change, change. I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you another story. This happened last year. Last year. I'm sitting in The guy knocks on the door, he wants to talk to me. It's an obvious medrash. He says to me, this is a very private, he has these kinds of tendencies towards homosexuality. He's like, Valt. I gave him this piece from the doctor, cut the name out, gave him the piece. Nice, thick piece, and he read about it. He said, you know what? I can confirm the truth of what the doctor said. He got off email, and he sent me pages and pages and pages of an email of five goyim. I think they're goyim. You know, the goyish name, John, Frank, you know, they got better. That they all had these tendencies, and they fought it, and they went to serious therapy, and they felt that they were, forgive the expression, normalized. Very difficult therapy. Difficult, very difficult. The fundamental theory that this doctor that I know comes from another doctor. His name is Nicolosi, I think is his name, if I'm not mistaken. Something along those lines. You can check him out on the Google or email, whatever. You can get him. He theorized that you're not born with this. Nobody's born this way. Nobody. Kodesh Baruch would never create a person this way. However, the reason why they think they're born this way, they're not lying, because from their earliest memories, they were this way. And the problem can exist at the very, very early youth. Literally babies. From months old to 2 years old to three, whatever. When they lack a male figure in their lives and something doesn't work somewhere in the head, and that's where it's happened. So they're not lying. They say they were born this way. We don't remember before we're 3 years old. The Havdol, we just learned yesterday. This guy approaches me, Gimel Shana V'Yom Echad. So when the Gimel Shana V'Yom Echad, they already wired that way. They weren't born that way. You can beat it, but you have to dig so deep down into who you are to even with 2 years. It's deep, deep and painful therapy. That's why they had this thing called Jonah. Jonah is the Jewish equivalent of that general national organization. And they came yelling at them, you're causing suicides. Da-da-da-da. And it's true. There are people who, in this intense therapy, committed suicide. It's a fact. I'm not denying that fact. I'm not denying it. AFLPK, it's a small percentage of those who do the therapy, they want to do the therapy, and through this therapy, they want to make themselves better. As a matter of fact, after the tumult in the yeshiva, which is almost 2 years old, I don't have to go into that difficult parsha, so I received a phone call from a fellow who's an active in this kind of stuff. He's a lawyer. I think he wrote a book on it. I think it was called Light Out of the Closet. Someone that gave me a copy of his book. He came to meet with me with two friends. These two guys are people that they were able to wean themselves away from these kinds of attitudes. And I got another phone call a little bit later saying to me as follows, I'm a yeshiva bacha. I had this. I spent tens of thousands of dollars in therapies and it was a waste of time and money. Nothing. I went to Nicolosi with that thing, what's it called? There's a reaching to manhood or something like that. I forgot what it's called exactly. I'm sure you can find it on, they have seminars throughout the country. He said, ever since they saved my life. Once a year, I'd come, volunteer basis, and go on the Mashkiach, it's kosher. Once a year, the food is kosher for everybody. Food is kosher. And there's going to be one in Philadelphia, he tells me. This is a little more than a year and a half ago. If you know anybody, tell them to come to Philadelphia for this weekend. I'm telling you, that's the only system that works. Everything else is garbage. Okay. I'm just telling what I'm told. I have no personal knowledge of these things direct. Fine. So he shows me these things, these emails. I told him, look, I gave him chizuk, I told him about this place, and you know, this kind of therapy, if it, I don't know what happened to the young man, I do not know. It's a shver parsha, Rabbi said. It's a shver parsha. We should not think, you know, even Rabbi Moshe writes, Betzel mitzod rishas v'nivul, it's true, but doesn't mean we believe in Bechira Chavshis. But the Yetzirah, I'm willing to accept that this Yetzirah, this guy is so deep and so, we call wired that it's very, very difficult for him to get out of it. And al tevien lo deni soy. We don't know al tonis chavercha shetagil l'mkom. So an individual who tries to get out and he does his best and he can't help it, da-da-da-da-da, we can't say it's mutter, chas v'chalila, chas v'shal. It's an isa goma, isa toeva. At the same time, our attitude towards that person, again, assuming he realizes that it's wrong, and he's trying his best to get out of it, has to be somewhat sympathetic. Contrast it to the guy who says, I'm proud of it, and I am in your face, and that guy, I've never, what are you talking about? It's against the Bible. The Rebbe Shem outvoted you. I'm not listening to you. I have no respect for you. It's a big, again, that's just as an aside. In any event, he told me this PhD, that among those, the full range of those teenagers who have these kinds of tendencies but are not active, he used an expression, homoerotic, and that's what I wrote down. I'm not sure what that means exactly. I can figure out more or less what it means. He says most of them, the majority of them, either through therapy or just as the years pass, are able to lead heterosexual lives with a wife or whatever else, wife or the equivalent. That's what he told me. He went further than that. And said even an individual who was active, if he did it, as Rav Moshe put it, Pam should talk for Yitro once, he said. Ain't no shalom was there. Happened once. The doctor called it experimental. But I told you, he likes it, he wants to try chocolate. He does it once. We'll get to the idea of once or the equivalent soon in another context, completely different context, in the next sugi. Even that individual is also very likely able to, get over it, straighten himself out without it, certainly the strong majority. However, if he was active in a way which, getting back to our motion, Yosef Nenem Mishkav Zachar Mishkav Nashim, and he called that, the psychological term was compulsive, that's what he lila, then Caldwell or Yeshua, then it's all, the statistics are very small, because only a very small percentage try. Well, why should they try? They were told by all the higher up, there's nothing wrong with this. Why should I try? Ad Khan, what he said. This being the case, back to our case of 2004, we knew we had a Yetzirah. As far as I know, he didn't sin. The majority could have straightened out. This guy could have straightened out. You cannot say Kol Balei Yeshuva, it's not a Kibushei Tos. It's like a Chatas Nurim, whatever. You can't say it. This is as far as the case of 2004. Now let's go back to the case of 2002. This guy was the opposite. He was with Zoynus, the furthest thing from Mishkav Zohar. So I called somebody. Again, whenever I call anybody, I always call through Dr. Pelkovitz. He's my main man. But he sends me out to different people. So he sent me out to one person as far as that. This person he sent me to another professional. I'm not sure if he wants to be quoted, so I'll just refer to him as a professional. If you need to know who he is, I'll tell you later. Who lives in the New York area. The other person was from a different area. And I asked him, what's going on with the people who are involved with these kind of Zionists? What's their chance of getting better? So Roy Garten had a very dim view. I read yesterday. It was a very small chance. And I wasn't so sure that was really true. This is what he told me again this last week. This last week's information. He didn't answer me right away. Even though this is his specialty. What they call sexual addiction. This is his specialty. He still wouldn't answer me. He said, I got to do the homework. I'll get back to you. Came back to me and said as follows. Number one. Fascinating statistic. America. America, right? What kind of people we have in America? 3 to 5% of the population, I guess he's talking about the male population. The male population of the United States of America come at one point in time in their lives because they have sexual addiction problems. They come to get treated. Because they realize it's not good. Not good for many reasons. 3 to 5% of the population come for treatment. How many of the general population have the problem? We all know when it comes to these things. Usually more people don't come to treatment than do come to treatment. So they give it a guess, they don't know. They think between 8 and 9% of the population of the United States of America suffers from some form of sexual addiction. I'm not sure if that's includes only Bepoil or even in space, now there's cyber addictions. I think he means the pile. So that being the case, comes out that between 3 and 6% to do the arithmetic, they don't come to get treated. Let's do the math. Those who come for treatment, listen carefully to the words now. 75% of them are over the age of 25. Shot. Until then, smach bocha b'yaldu secha. They have no cheshmer, nothing, they're just having a good time. 25, that's when the people start, I gotta settle down. Pirush Rashi. From those who come for treatment, listen to the statistic. About 80% are able to stop this activity with proper treatment. Wow. Those who don't come, of course we can't tell. But based on what we thought earlier, it's very likely that most of those who don't come is when they're young. Once they turn 25, most of them presumably do come, and most of those are successful. Again, this is just some extent of a hashara. We don't know if it's Adkan Divrei a psychologist. This being the case, it seems to me that back to the case of 2002 is not Kiddushei Tos. Let's assume the guy was busy with these kinds of addictions from 16 for 7 years. Right? He's got married at, say, 21. I'm just estimating 21. So, most people after 25 can turn their lives around with or without treatment. And therefore, Abosa, we cannot utilize the famous expression of kol bo'er lo yeshuvun. Can't say that. It's just not true. Memela. Even when he's talking about AIDS. So he said, for the rest of her life, she has to worry about getting AIDS from the guy. No. If the guy, at 20, 25, goes to therapy and straightens himself out, then there's not going to be AIDS. He's not going to go anymore to Beis HaZonos. That is what's all about the condom, etc. It seems to me that there's no Anan Sade that she wouldn't marry him. Now, none of us want any of our relatives to marry him, that's for sure. But there's no Anan Sade, because people do marry guys like that who sin and they get better and do true. Adka. So with this, we conclude this topic. We spent a long time on this topic, a critical topic. And now we're ready to start the next topic. We go from the Beis to Yud Beis. Okay? B'siyata d'shmaya. Yud Beis and Beis, Rosa. Says the Gemara, Shalosh Noshim Meshamshes B'moch, Tana Muberes V'Menika, Tana Shemet Yisabe V'Shemet Tamus, Muberes Shemet Teos Uber Sando, Menika Shemet Tigmal B'Nov V'Yomus. Let me give you the exact ages. Pochos Mikan V'Yeser Akan, Meshameshes Kedaka V'Oleches, Divra Meh. V'Chacham Romim, no. Achazu V'Achazu Meshameshes Kedaka V'Oleches, ומן השמיים יירח במשם שנאמר, שומר פסועם השם. End of the suit. Rabosai, what are they arguing about? Raman the Chachamim. Chachamim seem to be very blasé. Shomer psoim Hashem. What about the chance of this happening? Rabosai, according to science, can any of these three things happen? These possibilities of danger, can they happen? Rabosai, can a katana become pregnant? From 11 till 12, she can become pregnant? Yes? What does it say?
Well, I mean, if we're defining it by actual years, 11 to 12, maybe she can if she gets her period before she's 11.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. And she's going to die if that happens? Maybe. What's the next case? That is Garwild. Muberes? Woman is pregnant, she become pregnant again? Not the last I heard. What does this mean? Menika, this we do know. Menika is true. A Menika certainly can conceive, although in the old days when they were nursing full time, it was very, very unlikely. It's still unlikely. Well, the reason why nursing a baby is no longer a valid form of birth control is because people don't nurse completely. They have a bottle at night, and they're, if you nurse exclusively, the baby has nothing to add, nothing, zero, but its mother's milk, it's still a fairly, not totally, reliable form of contraception. B'kitzah, Chachamim say, show up some Hashem, because the chances of this happening are off the charts small. And Rabbi Meir says, no, but there's still a chance. That seems to be the dispute between the two of them. We'll see soon the details. Any questions before I proceed? Tosfos. Shalosh noshim mishamshes memoch. Pirush HaKuntres mutter l'shamesh memoch. It's mutter. What do the words mean? So Likutei Rashi gives you a little bit more. Rashi here says, mishamshes memoch. Mutaras losses memoch b'makom tashmeshik. Shein mishamshes kadeh shalo yisabru. There's some other Rashi's that I found in the Likutim on the side. Mutaras liten moch, also mochem shalo yisabru. Mutal mishamesh memoch. Etc. Chayavos Hashamash Moch Zeran. They'll send a smoke. They don't quote every single Rashi and Shas over here, but they quote a number of them. We'll see soon. Fine. Mutal the Shamash, but it's true. Rashi is the word mutar, it's mutar. Avoshar Nashim says Tosis. Rashi never said this, but Tosis assumes it. Also, it's prohibited. If these three are mutter, everyone else by definition is prohibited. Why? Mishum hashchos hazera. A new term on both sides. Hashchos hazera. Hashchos hazera is a prohibited act. The details to be discussed at great length. Af al gav lo mifkada piriyah v'rivya. Mishnah's later on. The pruvu, Rabbi Osai, is an obligation on the man and not upon the woman. It says on the side where to look. The Mishnah, Rabbi Osai, Samachay, Amud Beis. Take a quick look. We're told to look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ish mitzuvah piri v'rivya avolo ha'isha. That's it. How do you know? The kivshua ish darko lichbosh v'ein isha darko lichbosh. Okay? What is the source? Only a man is obligated for Ravu, and a woman is not obligated. Now, it's obvious to everybody that a man without a woman cannot fulfill Pru Ravu. Everyone understands that. But nonetheless, the halacha is, a woman is potter from Pru Ravu. Why? We don't ask any whys. Gzeres HaKosov. Gzeres HaKosov, the Torah says, and that's all. Don't have to ask why. But Meir Simchan and Meshech Chochma and Parshas Noach has a remarkable understanding of why this would be true. It gives two reasons. One reason is, childbirth is dangerous. It's dangerous even today. It was certainly much, much more dangerous b'zman Matan Torah. Very dangerous. You know? We recorded in Chumash, right? Rachel Imenu passed away in childbirth. It's not the only one recorded in Tanakh. It happened. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Meshech Chochma, Parshas Noach, the Kadosh Baruch Hu would not require a woman to do something which is dangerous for her. And women are desperate to have children. That's, I always say, it's the irony. Rachel Imenu says, "Havali banim v'in ayin meisanoch." What's the irony? Nebuch, she died in childbirth. That's a remarkable irony. But women are willing to take the chance, and they're so desperate to have children. But they're not required. They're not obligated by Torah law. It's a fascinating concept that Rav Meir Simcha has. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two is even more remarkable. It's all, you can look it up, Meshech Chochma. It's based on a Mishnah, Samach Dalet Aman Aleph. Give a look. Samach Dalet Aman Aleph. Nosa Isha V'shoa Imo Eser Shonim V'lo Yolda Eino Rashor Libato. He's married for 10 years and no children. Eino Rashor Libato. What must he do? It says Rashi, Tap Rashi in Sam Abdal, Laman Aleph, El Oyigar Shena, Oyisa Acheres Ima. Bidina de Gemara, of course, the man can have more than one wife. Fine. So the Meir Simcha like this. The Torah cries over divorce. Mizbeach Moral of the most. It's terrible. The Torah does not want to put anybody in a situation where because of no fault of his or her own, there has to be a divorce. Had the Torah mandated a woman to fulfill Puravu, and she was married for 10 years with no children, she'd have no choice but to divorce her husband in order to marry somebody else and attempt to have a child. The Torah hates divorces. It can't impose divorce. A man, 10 years he's married, what does it say? Lo yibotel. What did Rashi say? You have to divorce your wife? Chas v'shalom. Yisa cheres ima. Take a second wife. Shh. Can a woman take a second husband at the same time? What do we call that? Lo sinaf. It's a mamza. She can't have two husbands at the same time. Polygamy is permitted by Torah law, not polyandry. Not two husbands at the same time. There's some Far East places where they were written up in the times where they have two husbands at the same time. So I know who the father is. Whatever it may be. So I'm suggesting, Rabbi Osai, if a Meir Simcha's reason is the correct reason, that the Zman Hazeh, where a second wife is not an option, one can argue that at least the spirit of the law is not to compel a divorce in the case of a man who's married 10 years without children. In fact, we already saw the Ramah last week, that Siman Aleph, we no longer enforce this. I mean, even the days when we had some power to enforce, there's no power. But even then, they stopped enforcing these kinds of things. Okay, Rabbi, is everyone with me so far? Those are Meir Simcha's fascinating suggestions in Parshas Noach and Meshechach. Fine. Good. Says Tosis, back on Yud-Beis and Mid-Beis. Tosis is assuming Hashchos HaZera is a corollary of the mitzvah of Pruru. The Zera of the man should be used for purpose of procreation and should not be destroyed. A woman is not chayiv in Pruru, no problem destroying Zera. V'chein mashma benidid af Yud Gimel. The Tanami Peri Kolayara Marba Livdok Binoshim Mishubachas Banoshim Tikotzeits. That's the opening Mishnah Nida. The Marba Livdok by Noshim is because of Nida Shalish, so she should know when she becomes a Nida. A man who touches that part of his body, Chas V'Chalila, Kalito Tzor Zera Levatola, and therefore the hand should be cut off. It doesn't mean we take a knife and cut it off. It's a figure of speech that you shouldn't be done. Umefarsh b'gemara b'mishum d'noshim, they have no problem. Lav b'nos hargosha ninu. That's the lashon of the gemara. What do the words mean? No one knows what these words mean. Masha d'imish d'ihava b'nos hargosha, havi osur. What? What do the words mean? Had women had certain sensations when they put their hands there, it would be prohibited. What's Tosus talking about? I mean, it's not fully Tosus for the Gemara. What does the Gemara mean? It's so unclear, it's not even fun. I don't do this. Miu matzino lefarish lavados iser hargosha ninu. That, in other words, even if they do that and it's hargosha and something wrong happens, there's no iser for them. What? Anyone ever take high school biology here? Kavachoma college biology. What are we talking about? How do you understand this Tosus? What comes out of a woman? What are we talking about? So Rabosai, the best we can do to understand Tosus, I can't do any better than this, is that to say as follows, that if a woman becomes aroused as she should be before being intimate with her husband, there's certain secretions, lubricants, and other. I'm not going into all the whole biology of the female. And perhaps what Tosus is saying that if the woman is going to be involved in hargosha and touching herself with that part of the body which simulates certain kinds of sexual activity, then maybe that might lead to some kind of an arousal, a hargosha, And that can lead to certain secretions, which are wasted, if I may use the expression. Kadosh Baruch Hu meant that they should exist in terms of intimacy between a man and a woman, and now that it's called being wasted, some kind of Yitzer of Ashchos as her Zera. That's what the Pesukim saw, if you saw the Ritva. So, Zera Shalom. What's Zera Shalom? There is no Zera Shalom. It doesn't exist. The egg? The egg is way up inside the uterus, the fallopian tubes. You can't get there. I don't know. So I asked my doctors in the Beis Medrash, and they showed me from Dr. Avram Steinberg a whole piece I have here, a whole printed page about what this means. Not satisfying from the perspective of the medical realities, but I was told to look on the Chasam Sofer, and neither Daf Yud Gimel, where this is coming from, and the Chasam Sofer suggests that when the Poskim talk about Zera Shalom, I don't believe the phrase is found in Shas. When the Poskim talk about Zera, maybe they mean, although it doesn't seem to fit into the Tosafot over here, it means the husband's Zera that's in her body. That's Zera Shalom. Okay? That's what's going to fit into all these contexts. But that, at least I understand, that is the potent stuff which can lead to the to a birth of a conception of a child. That's a Chasam Sof. I looked it up. I need you to give what's there. Okay? Again, if you have other interpretations which scientifically fit with what the Rishonim say, you'll let me know, and we'll go further. Right. Rabbeinu Tam Omer, Lifnei Tashmish, Vadai also Litin Shamoch. What is moch? What translates the word moch? What does moch mean? Spongy. It means, yeah, cotton. Something cuffed. Spongy. Huh?
Cuffed.
What's the word?
A tuft of cotton.
T-U-F-T?
Yeah.
Okay. A tuft of cotton. Learn the new word. Cotton. And there's a Rashi which they didn't quote here. They quote a Rashi from a number of Mesechtes. A Rashi in Daf Kuf, later on Kuf and Yevamos, and Ksubas Lamentes, then a Ran, then a Rashi in Ksubas. Another Rashi in the Flamed Zion. They quote a number of sources of Rashi, but they didn't quote the one which I think is the most important Rashi of all, which they didn't quote. That's the Rashi Masechta Nida. The Rashi tells you a little more clearly what Moch is. If you saw the other Maramakomas, yeah, that's what Moshe and others, they quote even the Mordechai, they quote the Gemara Nida. The first Mishnah Masechta Nida is called Anoshim Dayan Shatan. You see, whenever the blood comes out, we don't have to go back in time to Aser her, or Aser her husband, or Aser the Truma that she may have touched, you know, retroactively. We don't do that. Okay. It says over here, Anav Gimel, maybe referring to a case of Mishamshus Memoch, says Rashi, Mim Avashtaka Taina, with the Kude Rashi. This is the most important one they left out. Mimala isha oso mokom. Now the word oso mokom is a classical euphemism. That place. We know what that place means. The part of the woman's body, the cavity, where the male organ is introduced during Tashmish. She fills it up with, what do you say, tuft? I'll call it cotton. I'm still a plain southerner. Cotton. Okay. Muchin. Moch is muchin, which is absorbent. Lishov es hazera, to absorb all the zera of the husband. Shalot es aber. Ve'enonot losu misham, elo b'shas ha-tzorach. She leaves it in the whole time. Only takes that when she has to. V'shema moch hemen es adam. Maybe the moch held up the dam. The reason you didn't see it, because it was being held up by the moch. Ad kan this Rashi, critical Rashi, Masechta to need them. On Daf Gim. Okay, Rabbi Osai. Says Rabbeinu Tam, forget about it. Havarehu kimatil zera al eitzim ala eitzim v'alo avonim. K'shematil ala moch. Like someone who was matil zera on eitzim and avonim. Where that expression came from, I don't know. Is it in Shas? Ala eitzim v'alo avonim? I didn't see it in looking at these sugars that I looked in. Maybe I'm missing something. But it's just a way of saying that the individual is, the male individual is being motzi zera on wood and on rocks. It means nothing to do with the woman, which of course is prohibited. Even though, what do you mean? He's in the woman's body. Yeah, but there's cotton there. The cotton is like stones. It's like wood. Avalim no senes moch achatashmish. Oh, ain nira lesser. Why? Tahai gavra, this man, her husband, ki urche mishamish. He lives with his wife normally. I afterwards, she's going to take the cotton, absorb it, and throw it out. No, so what? Midi dahavi aktan of islandis. Right? In our world, we no longer have katana. We no longer have islands. What do we have, Rabosai? The most common case, the most absolute most common case. We'll use the word, forgive the expression, don't use it when you're speaking to a lady. Zakena, a postmenopausal woman. Can't have any children. Postmenopausal. But, sorry, Menu. She have suddenly, all of a sudden, you know, pierce the nida after I don't know how many years. Ain't maskiri maisanis. Right? And even so, he may not have a period first before she was able to conceive. After who knows how many years of Achrei Belosi, right? After the menopause. Alright? Tlohitzi betashmishim lavanos bottom ninum. Tlohisha sheno senes achakach moch. Aye, later on, she confounds him. And she puts in the milk and sweeps away and absorbs away and takes away all the zera. Lo huzra shchas zera. Kevin lo mifkud apirivirivya. How do you like that? A machloik is what the words mean. They mean the bokas put their kodem tashmish, or some call it bishas tashmish. It's the same thing. You put it their kodem, it's their bishas. What does it mean? Liacha tashmish. Rashi has the first shot. Rabbi Natan says the second shot. Everybody with me so far? That's machloikus number one. Between Rashi and Rinatam. Yes.
Just looking at the Lakuta Rashi.
Yes.
He quotes Rashi in Suvas that says about the Achat
Rashi. Rashi.
The very last
one. You're right. But it's a different context. You're looking Suvas Lav Lamed Zayin. It has nothing to do with. It doesn't say that Shalosh Noshim Masham Shas Bemoch. If you're looking Suvas Lamed Zayin. Amon Aleph, what does it say? Amon Aleph? Look, Ksubas Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Here we go. Mishamesh is b'moch. No senes moch lachatashmish lachabila v'shoev asazera. Doesn't not talk about the same context of sholosh noshim mishamshes b'moch. A wholly different context completely. What is the complex? What is the context that Rashi is describing? Rashi is saying, sad story over here. I'm sorry to say the sad story, but I have to tell it to you. It's a question of havchana over here. Between one, she lived with one man, lives with another man. And the Gemara there says, Isha Mizana, Meshameshes Mimoch. That means she's Mizana, and then she realized, what do I do over here? Plan B. Meshameshes Mimoch. She tries to get it out. Now they have a morning after pill. That's a different system completely, but it's called Plan B. There's a whole fight now in America. Can a woman get a walk in without a prescription, without her mother knowing, and ask for a Plan B pill. Fights. This is a tremendous tumult. Everybody say the whole Plan B, as we understand, is not exactly, it's not Plan A. So. Rabbi said, so this Rashi is a different context. I'm not talking about a married couple. Anyway, that's Machlokas number one. What's Machlokas number two? What does it mean, Mishamshes B'moch? Rashi used one word. The word he uses is mutaros. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? U'mishamshes b'moch tekotoni hocha hainu srichos l'shamesh b'moch. It's a double machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Quote the Rashi, it means it's mutter, and it is only, it's called a tashmish and mutter. Quote the Rabbeinu Tam, it's the acha tashmish and chayef. What about the what about the view of the Chachamim? It's one notch down, right? So according to Rashi, the presumption is, according to Rashi, Usur. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, the presumption would be not chayev, maybe not also not aser. Right? It goes down one notch according to the Chachamim, as opposed to the Gimel Nosh, according to Rabbi Meir. Ad kan, machlokas Rashi Rebbe Natan. So Rabbi Meir said that there being two separate and distinct machloksim, the possibility exists that we can split. We can accept Rashi half and Rabbi Natan half. Right? Mix and match. So I'd like to show, without further ado, before we even see the Rishonim, I'd like you to see the Yom Shel Shlomo. Can you give me Yom Shel Shlomo on the, that should be. By the way, did any of you yet see the Ritva? I mean, I spoke about the Ritva the first day. I wanted to bring it in to show you. This is the Ritva. I told you about the fantastic footnotes of Rav Yafin and Zichrona Levracha. So we haven't, this is our first time. Has anyone seen it yet, the Ritva? Saw some of those footnotes? Wow. There's a lot to say. So you know what? While you get me the Amish Shalom, I'm going to read you a little bit in the Ritva. We'll see the Ritva later. The one I asked you to see. Shalosh Nashim Mishamish is the Moch, Pirish Rashi. And he says, Shar Nashim Asuas Mishamish, even though they're not Chayv and Pru Ravu, still there's a problem. Yom Shel Shlomo, Perek Aleph, Siman Ches. So we'll come back to the Ritva later. We have the Yom Shel Shlomo here. Let us see what he has to say. V'anir Abiena. Is it big enough? I want to read. Can you read in the back? V'anir Abiena. Av Shal Mordechai Siman Gimel Pirish B'Shem Rivon Kedas Rabbi Natan. The Chikos of Arad. Mikomakom Nira Pirish Rashi Ika. The Mishamishin Bemoch Lifnei Tashmish Koma. That's what the word means. The Yenze Kematil Al Eitzin, as Tosa suggested. Why not? The Sof Derech Tashmish Bekach. The Guf Nenem and Aguf. The Domin the Mishamish Aktana. The Chen Pirish Rebel and Naras Ksumas Lamates. The Kayan Pirish Rashi. He says, Moch means Bishas or Kodim. For Raya, being a proof positive, Meresh needed Av Gimel. To come and Mishamishas Bemoch, Michael Amema, the Mashmal Ahedja, the Ari Bemoch, Shemunach, but also Mokam Kol Shah. For Loshim Mekanachas Bola Hafler Azari after Tashmish. For Tomeni Abinatam, Ech Ola Al Daito, the Forest Binyan Acher, Mehoda Nida, because Nida has to be that way. What else could it mean? It's holding up the blood. The need the blood comes out of that same general cavity. How can it hold up the blood if it's only being put in there for a few minutes? You have to tashmish to soak it up. Obviously, it's there the whole time. So charaya berurah ad mo'od, Dr. Yom Shel Shlomo, Rav Shal, that's Tomat Kodem Tashmish. Ava mikoma kom, nire de gamken das rabbein atamika. What does that mean? The av shar noshim mutaros, the einisir benoshim, Me'acha she'en ha'metzuva al-pir v'rivya. V'gimul noshim da'ocha tzrichi koma. V'chein pir ha'rosh bin nadar, p'chein ben ha'mudad ha'flamet, he'en ha'beis, t'tzrichas l'shamish koma. U'me'mele sh'ar noshim mutaros. V'chein mashim v'loshin ha'roshom, sh'lifnei tashmish koma, sh'kosav tzrichas l'osimok bo'osimokim, k'nishatiklon ha'zera. Mashim sh'kfar munach l'sham, v'kol it ha'zera afterwards. U'me'hod ha'resh nidah nami mashma, the Avshar Noshim Shari. Why? But the Kama Hossam Stam, Misham Shetz Bemoch, Maikol Lemema, Velo Orma, Hani Gimel Noshim, Maikol Lemema, Mashma Kolisha Muteretz Vecheinika, Kenalok and Chachamim, Shetet Tzricha Lashamesh, Aval Mutarim, end quote. What did Marshall do over here? Pull the fast one. Half Rashi, half Rabbi Natan. The Pshat de Gemara is Moch Lifnei Tashmish, and the Pshat in the Machlokos are Man, the Chachamim, with the Tzrichos and Mutaros. So these Noshim are, according to the Chachamim, Mutaros. And the Yom Shel Shlomo assumes it's not only these three, but all Noshim are also Mutar. Now that's a jump. How did Marshal make that jump from these Gimel Noshim to Shar Noshim? But he jumped. He took the leap of faith. Yes, y'all.
Yeah, it's not because he's saying because of Derek Tashmish.
Oh! No, that's. Everything's mutal to prove an aser.
Yeah, but he says as far that there's no problem that Shmuel Tzazara.
Right.
That shouldn't be relevant because it's once it's there of cash, but it doesn't matter whether it's.
The two go together. As far as a man is concerned, since the Maharshal uses the expression derech tashmish bekach, it's like mashamash haktana. Even though it's not the same, what can I say? The katana, there's no barrier. Just she can't conceive. She has no eggs. I mean, she has no ovulation. The 20-year-old woman has plenty of ovulation, and he's trying to avoid a pregnancy. She filled up a whole cavity with cotton. It's not the same thing as the katana. But the Maharshal says it is, because even if he puts the cotton in, she puts the cotton in, since they have physical enjoyment from one another, haguf, nenem, and haguf means, doesn't just mean beforehand. It means even during the act of tashmish itself, the guf is nenem and haguf. Even at the moment that the zera comes out of the husband, it's guf, nenem, and haguf. And therefore, that's considered to be, you know, normal relations. It's not a violation of Hashchos HaZera, so says the Maharshal. Yes?
How could they say that Hashem Shmuel is Kedarka? Because they also come and say, don't use it, do it Kedarka. So it means.
No, obviously that's what he means. He means it's not Kedarka that a normal woman has without Moch. That's what the word means over here, Kedarka without any Moch. It's still called a normal enough Bia that it's not a violation of Hashchos HaZera. That's all he means. Yes, sir.
I think I'm misunderstanding. The Yom Shur Shlomo says that it's mutter for the Shalosh Anashim and for Shara Anashim.
Isn't that what he said? Didn't he say? He's called based on Nida Dav Gimel. Call Isha Mutter, it's Vechein Iker. Call Isha.
Shalosh Anashim specifically is five.
Shalosh Anashim is a machlokes hatanoim. According to the Chachamim, it's mutter. According to Rameir, it's chayv.
There's still a difference between each other.
According to Rameir. According to Chacham, there's no difference. Shalosh Nashim is mutter, and Shana Nashim is also mutter. The reason why they mentioned the three Nashim, to tell her a male Ad Kan the Marshal. Yes, sir.
I'm trying to understand one thing. According to Pashat and Rashi, that according to that for Shana Nashim is mutter because Shana Nashim, and for these women it's mutter. First of all, if it's why is mutter for these women?
Sakana. Shana Sakana.
Why is Tashmish
Mutter
at all. And
let him abstain.
Yeah.
Oh, great Kasha.
Also,
Wait, stop. Let him abstain. Let me answer right away. The halacha does not look kindly upon a man and a wife not being together physically. We know what happens. It's Nida. We know about Nida. We know about this. We know about that. But it's not an easy option that rolls off the words of Chazal. Oh, let him abstain. So they'll separate for a year until she turns 12. Or she'll separate for 2 years until she weans the baby. Or she'll separate for 9 months until she has a baby. What? We don't believe in that. We don't. We try very hard to avoid these things. Oh, so that's what the shiur's about. I still have another 20 minutes. Give me some time. You give me 22 minutes, I'll try to give you the world. Okay? Yeah.
I still don't understand why the Maharshal brings in the fact that women are not so prohibited. That seems to be there's no place here because he's saying whatever prohibited is mutter for a man, but also mutter for a woman, even if she's mutter for a prohibited. Why does he brings in that?
Where did he bring it in, Shom?
He said the af shar nashim mutaros the inus of nashim after she entered tzuvah prohibited.
Where?
Two lines up from
that. Two lines up.
Yeah, the end of that line.
After shar nashim mutaros, af shar nashim mutaros. Why? Then Isra Benoshim, Me'acha Hashem Mitzuva Apiri Verivya. You're asking the following question. Forget about that. Didn't he give a different explanation? What did he say? Sof Derech Hashem. That's talking about as far as the man is concerned. Now he's talking about as far as the woman is concerned. What did the woman do? What was her chet? Her chet was she put the milk in the first place.
What right
did she have to do that? She is preventing pregnancies. A woman should be doing things actively to prevent pregnancies. Says number one, she's not having pruvah. That's the Maharshal. Oh. Narabosai. It's something very important now. I want you to see the Mukhe Yosef on the Maramakomas. this, I'd like to show you inside before we look outside. The Mugei Yosef is found on that hay in our print. Bezim and Bezim, the old print. A fairly short piece. In our print is page Hey, top of the left column. B'shavshes b'moch pirush Rashi mutaros lases moch b'mochem tashmish k'shem b'shavshes k'shem shlo yisapru hikshu alav Rashba Ritva dim kain ki arminan dekodem azman hazeh mishameshes k'darka asura l'shamesh b'moch kama. Right? If the contest is between mutter, the opposite of mutter is asur. So what does that mean? An 11-year-old girl, 10-year-old girl, is asur. Vamai! Keva de ena misaberes kolikar. V'ein kamish v'mashchos azera. The 10-year-old can't become pregnant. What's that she puts in moch? The fich of pirshu chayotos l'shamesh b'moch. Shum sakona dido odavlad. So chayovos, like Rabbi Natan, chayovos, you get an impression from the Mukhi also, like the Marshal. He learned Rashi's pshat, mishamish means called him tashmish. And yet, he learns Rabbi Natan's pshat, that chayovos, so does the Yamashal Shlomo said it on his own, l'chor, the Mukhi Yosef learns that way as well. And he got it from the Ritva, as it says in our edition. Hikshul of a Ritvazal. It says in our parentheses in line 3, left column, page 8, in our edition. What do you see from here, Rabosai? The nature of the Yisr is Bipshuto. And the fact that he has the Kasha, Kevin Shane Misaberes Kolika. He's not learning that the Yisr is that the man expels his Zera on Moch. Because if that were the nature of the Yisr, it wouldn't matter, how should we say, not Bas Kufka, Bas Chofka, Bas Yud, or Kabas Zayin. Pick the second half of Rashi in Fai Chayasara. Bas Chofka, Bas Zayin. The same way, Rabbi Osai, we would have said, had that been the Yisr, so if Bas Chof, he's Mishal Mashal Moch is also Bas Zayin, the same thing. Whether there can be a pregnancy or not is irrelevant. It's the Maisa itself of being Matil, the Zera on the Moch. That itself is also. Who cares if she's Bas Zayin? For the fact that the Ritva does care if she's a Bas Zayin, it's clear that the Ritva did not understand the Yisr as an Yisr per se of Matil al Eitzim al Avonim literally. Wouldn't help you to Bas Zayin. He learned the nature of the Yisr is actively preventing pregnancy as opposed to passively preventing pregnancy. This itself is a prohibition. Had it been, Rabbi Osai, an Yisr of expelling the Zera, not B'tov Gufa Isha, that's an independent prohibition, which wouldn't make one bit of difference whether the wife is 20 or the wife is 7. Where do you find a source for this prohibition? I ask you, see the Gemara, Lamed Dalid Omud Beis. Take a look, please. Lamed Dalid Omud Beis in Masechta Yevamos. What does it say over here? Lamed Dalid Omud Beis. Mesve, the fifth line. Called Esther V'Abba Chodesh, the 2 years after a baby is born, how they together, it's a fear that she'll become pregnant and her milk will dry up and the baby will die of starvation. We can't imagine this nowadays because we have formula. But in those days, no mother's milk, the kid can die. So what do? Abstain for 2 years? No dice. That's not a good option. So what's the best option? Unbelievable option. Dosh mi bifnim vizora mi bachutz. Tivri Abulazim. What does that mean? That the man inserts the organ inside, but when it comes time for him to expel the zera, he does it outside, to the wind, not near that cavity of his wife's body, so she can't become pregnant. Kadesh shalotis abe v'tigmol espanov yomus, says Rashi. Unbelievable heter. Amulei, they said to him, Amulei chachamim, Halalu ein ela kemaisa erev onan. That's what erev onan did. Whoever learned Chumash and Rashi here. That's the chapter everybody skips in grade school. That means I'm sure you learned it. This is not, you notice better than any other paragon all of Bereshis. Because they skipped it. Mayim genuvim yim toku. I'm sure they skipped paragon lamed zayin. The whole thing is one big mystery with it. This issue, I can explain this to kids. Then you have to step with Kadesha. And yeah, well, that's tough and rough. Easy to skip. Okay? All right, but I'm sure you, when they skipped it, I'm sure you look right away. So you see exactly what it said there. So Rashi says, in Chumash. I'm not sure when you were a kid you learned Chumash and Rashi, but you should learn Chumash and Rashi. Since then, you certainly learned Chumash and Rashi. So Rashi says as follows. V'shiches Arza. That's describing owning. I say, yeah, what's the art scroll translation? Aha. How do they get out of this one? It's Pasuk Tes. Whenever he would consort with his brother's wife, he would let it go to waste on the ground so as not to provide offspring for his brother. Pretty good. A little translation. Okay? Al Eitzim al Avonim on the ground. That's Avonim. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Doshi bifnim v'zorami b'chutz yivam hasham. It's not quite the maskon of yivam hasham. That's a little bit of a problem that the Mefarshim and Rashi ask. The Medrash says the way. Bereshis Rabba, that's the second source which Rashi has quoted. Pei hey hey, that's true. Yivam haslam medal, it seems to say a little bit differently at the end, as we shall see momentarily. Onanism. Sure. You know why they don't call it Airism? Because in the Torah it doesn't say what Air did. Rashi says, Rabbeinu Hashem, Kira'oso Shalonim, Mashchis Zaro, Shenema Be'onan, Vayomos Gamoso, Kimisoso Shal Air, Misoso Shalonim, Volomoya Air Mashchis Zaro, Gemara quotes the Gemara, Kadei Shalotis Aber V'yakchish Yofya, Mishugana. He wanted his wife to be a trophy wife. We already have this already in Parshas Bereishis, right? Two wives they had. Oda Vitzila, the Shei Lemech. They had a trophy wife, and they would ma'ake her and make her impossible to have children. Didn't work. She had kids anyway. I guess she had an accident. Okay? And that was Tzila. And Oda was the ugly one who bore him all his kids. The Rashi, Chumash and Rashi, Rabbi Osai. You have to know Chumash and Rashi. You have to know Chumash and Rashi. In any event. So, okay, that's what it says over here. The Gemara says, no, not quite. Kamasi Eviona, Velo Kamasi Eviona. Kamasi Eviona, Dechsiv, Ayambo, Elech, Ochiv, Shishchas, Arta, Velo Kamasi Eviona, Diluhosom, Shalo Kedarko, V'hocho kedarko. Whoa! The Gemara in Masechta Yevama seems to say that there was bia shelo kedarko. Bia shelo kedarko means that instead of the male organ entering into the front where it's supposed to enter, that's the place where the woman ultimately gives birth to the baby from. That's where nida comes from. That's where, generally speaking, the urination comes from. But rather to the anal orifice, which women have the same as men, and the Aver Hazakha is inserted there. Whoa. It's called Bia Shaloka Dakar. Bia Shaloka Dakar, Rabbi say, is something that a person should never do. And we're going to learn the Tosfos. Yeah. Never. not to be done. But that's how they say over Yipsha. Obviously, Bria Shaloka Darka is not going to cause a pregnancy. You don't have to be a rocket biologist, scientist, to figure out that that's not going to cause a pregnancy. Okay? So he got what he wanted and not making her pregnant. Okay. So, Tosfos says, Mashma de also the Shamash Shaloka Darka, right? Everyone, it's terrible. Vitema. Per base in the Dharam Dav Chav Omar Ahi the Asa Kameh the Rebbe V'Omrole Shulchan Arachtilo V'Afocho. What a nice euphemism. I prepared the table for him and he turned it upside down. Which Tosfos seems to mean that she was ready to be with him normally and he turned it upside down on Shaloka Daka. Omrole Biti Atorah Hitiroschalo. The Torah permits him to be with you no matter way, no matter whichever way he wants. Umasik to Hilchos Ochi, Vafocho, and a Shaloka Darko. Lefisha Mitzta'eres Bekach. It's painful. Shanema, again, Chumash and Rashi. Vayishkav also Vayaneho. Sheina also Shaloka Darko. Well, who did this? Which Russia did this? Shem. Everything's in Chumash and Rashi. Shem. They skipped this parak too, I think. Well, that's harder to skip. There's too many things going on later about the fight. Whatever, they go over it quickly. But it's there. Parshas Vayishlach. Okay, it's right there. Rashi. Vayishkav osa kedarka. Vayanea shalo kedarka. Shechem, the big lord, the big leader, the prince. Prince. Yeah. V'chenim ta'anes benosai. That's by Lavan. Shaloka darka. That's really not so clear that is the pshat. If you look on the side, they say to look in Sanhedrin Nunches in Tosfos. That's not so pashut over there. If you look in Rashi there in Chumash and Parshas, that's Parshas Miketz, I believe. What is it? Where are we? In ta'anes benosai. No, I'm way off. Is in Parshas Vayetze. Oh, sorry. Vayetze. We keep going back. It's from Vayeshev to Vayeshev to Vayetze. Excuse me. Imtan Espinosai. What do those words mean? This is a love and warning, Yaakov Avinu. Make sure you take care of my kids. Of my daughters. Okay? This is found over here. Imtan Espinosai. Perek Laman Aleph Posuk Nun. Rashi says differently. Limnoa man on his tashmish. So if those of us who are familiar with Chumash and Rashi, quote more Yuma and Zion, not the way Tosfos says over here. So again, it's could be it's machlek is what the words mean. Fine. The e hafocho, if you mean pshat, he lemala vahu lemato. Normally tashmish means the man is on top and the woman is on the bottom. If it meant that he said no. I want to go on the bottom. You go on top. Lo hoisa kovela salkach. She wouldn't complain. It's not painful to her. So what's she complaining about? V'chein b'perek abamis sanhedrin nunches. Omer over kachov ma'abo al ishto. His own wife. Shelo kedaka chayev misa. Wild. U'porach mi'ika mi'in di yisrola mechayev over kachov mechayev. V'hainu hai lo mechayev hainu di yisrola shari. Lo Mechayev doesn't just mean, Rabosai, that you're not Chayev Misa. It means that it's permissible. The Ika Yisra be Yisrael, Nicha de Mechayev over Kachovim Misa. The Azaros and Zuri Misasan, Kamo be Gezel the Shardvarim, must be had to govern for Yisrael. Tos gives two terutz. Omeri, the Hosa Mari below, so Azera. The Shari, the Kev and the Lekha Ashkhasa Zera Lohavi Kemai Seraviona. If Zera is expelled into that anal orifice, that's what saw Zel Levatala. That's Asr. If not, it's Mutter. Oromeri, listen to this now. Lochoshiv Kemai Seraviononon, Elokshim Iskave Lahashke Zera, she shouldn't become pregnant. V'rogi lasos kein tamid. He does it regularly. Aval ba'akrai bi'alma. Once in a while. Umis avel lovo al ishto shelo kedarka. He has his lust for this. Shari. Tamina benedarim. Kol mash adam rotsa lasos bi'ishto yase. Moshe lebosar abo benat tabach v'dog benat tzayed. Rotsa ochlo b'tzli. Rotsa ochlo b'shmivushle. Rotsa sholok. Whee! Far from politically correct. So before we go any further, in case someone's absent tomorrow, this is not to be done. Le'osekeng. Absolutely. I will use the word us. I'm going to use the word us. Us. Taisvis, first because it's mutter without us, without Otzor Azera, but how's the guy going to know there'll be no Otzor Azera? How's he going to know? And second there is, well, he can do it once in a while. I just say a shout about saying, if I want a cheeseburger, maybe some ham and eggs, but only once in a while. Only once in a while. Buddha? What's going on? What's Pshat over here? Yeah?
So, I mean, we discussed this for
other
times
later,
but it's
there
so that people could have kids, so that there's
going to
be
no
children going
on. Right.
So,
let's
say if you're one doesn't once in a while,
it
doesn't mean that he won't be able to have kids.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that. I
hear
what you're saying, but. Yes?
I just have a question on the Gemara. The Gemara says that there were two things that Rabbanan did. One was
well, either this or that. The
Pasha. The Gemara brings a riot that there was a shkas there. Where does the Gemara see that it was Bishlo Kedarka?
Presumably, that's one way to learn Pshat the Pesukim and Chumash, right? How did he arrange that his wife's not going to become pregnant? Simple, Bishlo Kedarka. Now, if you think this is a crazy scenario, listen to this story. I'll end with the story. This is a story I think tops everything. So, last year, I got a call. The whole shalops, whether a certain woman needs a get from a man she lived with. So, it came to the Rabbanut, or something, I forgot the details. She was studying somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. It turns out that this woman lived with a woman. Forgive me the expression. This girl lived with a boy. When they were, to my knowledge, they still hadn't turned 20 yet, to my knowledge. Yeah, collegiates. On both sides, the Yetzirah is stark, but this one set me for a loop. And this is the story, as it was told to me. First, it shows how you have to be so, don't ever trust yourself. First, she didn't have a place to live, so he had Rachmanis on her, so he invited her into his dira, which he had by himself. He was very, very makpid. Make sure to leave the door open. This is truth is stranger than fiction. Then the neighbors complained. There's a door open over here. So he said to me, that was my mistake. I should have told her to leave right then. But instead, he continued to have Rachmanis and they closed the door. But he still, Chas v'shal, paldi ben layish, cherev yer. But after a while, you know, he's a healthy, I'm just throwing out a 19-year-old, and she's a healthy 19-year-old, and she's just doing her a favor, and she doesn't know where to go. But Rabbi, doesn't work that way in this world. It just doesn't work. On the other hand, she didn't want her family becoming pregnant. So there was Bia Shalo Kedarka. She said it happened once, and he told me, Started with once. I said, didn't it hurt her? I don't know Chumash and Rashi. No. She enjoyed it. Yeah. This went on for a long time. Not only that, but they even went somewhere, not here, and they posed as husband and wife because they wanted to spend the Shabbos somewhere together. So I said, I can't be mad that this is without a get. They posed as husband and wife. And I got angry from the side of the lady. How can you do this?
Why is it worse than civil marriage?
It's not worse than civil marriage. Civil marriage, I also require a get. Unfortunately, Biyash Lakadaka can create Kedushin. And if
they have
to ask. Oh, he had in mind, he said, she should be a Pilegish. Big Talmud Chochm. He must have been my Shia last week. I'm going to come to this Chochm. So it was too close to call. We could not say, just, you know, go without a get. You required a get? I don't know if he did give her a get. She didn't want to take a get. She didn't want to be also the Kohen. She didn't want to. She's sitting in somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. I'm just telling you these stories. Every time I tell you a story, it's a Musa Shlus. Our time is up. Tomorrow we'll get into the sugya with the Shem in greater depth. Okay.